This is Report to Wyoming.
I'm Colby Fedor, and in this podcast episode, I sit down with Ariana Burback. She is a 21-year-old designer from Casper. In this episode, I was excited to learn that we actually work pretty close together. She designs most of her clothes in a brick building that's right across from the Casper Town Square Media Building. She'll be heading to France in March to participate in Paris Fashion Week. I hope you enjoy this interview. Where did you grow up?
I grew up right there in Casper, Wyoming.
A Casper girl. Very cool. Did you have hobbies as a kid?
Yes. When I was around 7 or 8, I spent a lot of time with my grandma, and she was sewing all of my Halloween costumes and school projects, first day of school outfits. And I decided that I wanted to try and sew, too. And so I would make dolls, or clothes for my dolls. And as I started getting into high school, I was going to the thrift stores and picking up a lot of secondhand stuff and altering it to fit my measurements. And with that, I decided that I wanted to start making clothes for myself and for my friends. And it kind of blossomed into what my business is today.
Oh, nice. At what age do you think you started to develop like a personal sense of style?
From as young as I can remember, I always wanted to dress myself and make my own clothes. And yeah, from as long as I can remember.
I relate to that. I grew up in the late 90s and early aughts, and magazines used to be really big. You'd get subscriptions to Seventeen, Cosmopolitan, etc. And so those were always laying around our house from the older girls that were hanging out and show me trends and things that I thought were really cool. I wonder if there were influences for you that you gravitated towards.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny being kind of the first generation to grow up without the technology of the iPhone and the internet, and then also kind of merge into that and where social media started to become a really big thing with Instagram and YouTube and musically what is now TikTok, and all those things I think definitely formed my idea of what fashion is and what fashion can be and the self-expression through it.
And now I feel like anything goes. Because there are so many platforms, maybe your windows into different cultures, it seems like people have a lot more freedom with their fashion choices. And then some of that comes down to being able to buy things on the internet too. And you have a lot more, I guess, variety in terms of choosing articles of clothing. Whereas maybe even 20 years ago, you were really limited. People would get catalogs and buy things online, but I don't think that we were surfing the web quite the same, or you didn't have a handheld shopping device with you all the time either.
Yeah, right. A lot of what I do today, I work with all recycled materials. So I take secondhand things and make them into new, what I call a fusion of wearable art and streetwear and a little bit of couture mixed in there too. But there is so much accessibility to the fast fashion industry, which a lot of people aren't aware of the impact that that has on our environment. So me working with all recycled materials, I try and bring awareness to that as well and educate.
And I just found out about, maybe, I don't know if I want to out them. I found out about some of these stores where you can go and it's essentially a dollar store, right? And you're buying things from overseas and they're really, really cheap. Well, you get what you pay for, so they don't always last very long. But for trends that maybe are here and gone, one minute they're in, the next they're out, I can see why people opt for cheaper choices, but you definitely don't get the unique one-of-a-kind pieces that you're making.
Right. It's so accessible and so easy. It's one click away to just be able to, oh, here's a shirt or here's pants for $3. It's so easy to do, and it's in such a bulk amount too that it's just easy. It's very accessible. And I totally understand that, but it also, a lot of people aren't aware of the impact that that has. And you're exactly right about the life cycle of the piece, and it's not good material. It's not put together well. A lot of the reasons why it is so cheap is because they're using really cheap labor, and that's not fair or great or anything. So yeah, what I do that adds more of a limited aspect to the pieces. I do all one of one, so one of one garment is ever created, ever. So I feel like that adds a little bit of a new level to my.
Oh, I love it. As I got older, I'm 31 now. I started at around like in my late 20s to cultivate a wardrobe, if you will. Before, it was just kind of just a, I don't know, mix and match of whatever I needed to get through college and those early days of beginning to be a mother. One influence for me is Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. And something I've learned from her is to really cherish some of the pieces in your closet, right? If you're going to pay a little bit more for them, it should be something that you really love. For me here in Wyoming, that's outerwear and really good shoes. I don't own any expensive Birkin bags and I don't have any high heels, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody who does. But for me, a good investment is like a really nice coat that has, I'm very lucky to have real down feathers in it. You can really tell the difference when you're walking outside. If you have to walk more than a mile sometimes, it's so much better than a polyester coat, but you're going to pay a little bit more. I bought a black one knowing that, or hoping that this coat's going to last me at least 5+ years, maybe longer, you know? And so I think boots too. And definitely a lot of the men in my life, I see them going for workwear products that are made to last. And so I value that. Where did you develop some of your beliefs behind the way that products are manufactured, created personally?
Yeah, I would say that the ethics part of that came from really just educating myself and learning about where things are coming from. And also just listening to people talk about, like you said, cultivating a wardrobe and really spending a little bit more on timeless pieces that you're going to love for a really long time and that are going to last you a long time. And just like you said too, we are in a way harsh climate here in Casper. And it's important to have things that are going to keep you warm and that are going to last you a long time and, you know, that are going to last through whatever occupation you have or hobbies you have or things like that. And it really matters.
I think, too, there are these things that or articles that my sister and I call thing pieces, where maybe you have an event and you want a very special dress, something that stands out, and it's kind of a one and done. But if you buy, you know, if you buy that with the intention of giving it away or giving it to someone else, bringing it to a thrift store, then somebody else could also treasure it as well. I don't like the idea of clothes just being disposable or sitting in your closet for a century when maybe somebody else could get something out of it.
Right. And a lot of the way that the clothes are made today, too, it's to the point where it's not valuable enough or people didn't pay enough for it that, you know, it'll get a hole in it and they'll just throw it away. And that's the reason why a lot of our clothes are in landfills. And that's the reason why the fast fashion industry does have such a big impact on our environment. But specifically with the collection that I'm working on for Paris Fashion Week in March right now, I kind of took that very thing as a challenge for myself to make these more couture pieces wearable more than once. So you can style them in different ways. I did a jacket that has a portrait on the back that actually has snaps. So that will be sold with 4 or 5 different materials that you can snap to the back of it to change it up and make it your own based on how you're feeling that day. Or it really challenges the wearer to wear it more than once and wear these big, loud pieces and make them more a staple in their wardrobes.
I'm wondering what your staple, if you have like 2 or 3 pieces that are kind of maybe what you'd call basics or your go-tos that you'll probably never get rid of or have for a long time, and they're you can use them in a multitude of outfits.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, it's all pieces that I have made, so they, of course, fit my measurements perfectly. There is one pair that comes to mind right away. It's a pair that's on my website right now. It's just a pair of black denim, and it's a little bit more cropped, so kind of a skate fit. And it's got a big leather cap, a big chunky leather cuff around the bottom. I love those pants. I would die for them.
Oh, it's like a signature almost.
Yeah.
And nobody else has them.
Yes.
That's something interesting about what you do, too, is creating one-of-a-kind pieces. I'm very envious of that. But you do have a website. We should throw that out there now if people are listening and want to check out some of your garments.
Find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, just at Garms101. That's G-A-R-M-S, the number one, of, and then one. And my website is Garms101.com.
When did you establish this?
2023.
Oh, Okay, so it's fairly new, and you're fairly young. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I'm 21.
Wow. Was this a dream of yours for a long time, or did it kind of just come together spontaneously?
Well, about a year ago, I was going to Casper College studying computer science, and I had a pretty promising career in that. I thought that's what I wanted to do, but I just had this itch. I couldn't get design out of the back of my head, and I felt a lot of pressure to go to school and get a degree, and it just ended up, it was a pretty spontaneous thing to drop out of school and to start doing this full time, but I'm so lucky that I have the support from my family, from my friends, from my community, that I am able to do this.
When did you go to Denver for their Fashion Week?
Yeah, that was in May of last year, and they do such an amazing show. It's a really good kind of starting point for a lot of smaller brands like myself.
Oh, okay. What was the process like getting ready for something like that?
My first official Fashion Week show was September of 2023. I went to Milan and I did a collaborative pop-up show. And that was somewhere between 10 to 12 looks. Denver Fashion Week was 16 looks, so that was definitely bigger than I had ever done before. I was so lucky to have the help of my assistant, Mariah, but it was all just a huge learning process. Luckily, the staff at Denver Fashion Week makes it so easy. All the models were amazing, my hair and makeup artists, and everybody that helped out that day, it was just so easy for me, and I just was really able to be in the moment and have a great time. And with Denver Fashion Week came the opportunity of Paris Fashion Week. So that will be March of this year. That's March 8th. And then right after that, I'll hop right back to Denver Fashion Week in May.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more. But something I'm like super obsessed with recently when I've talked to artists, musicians, writers, is the space from which they create. Do you have a specific space where you make the bulk of your items?
Yes, I have a studio here in downtown Casper where I do everything. It's like my second home. I live there pretty much, and my business does consume so much of my life. And when they say that you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life, that is so true.
Are you getting a lot of locally sourced materials, I would say, so from thrift stores here in Casper?
Yeah, I frequent a lot of the thrift stores here in Casper. I also open my doors up to a lot of community donations, too. So I'm so lucky to have the support from my community, too, that they're able to drop off their clothes to me, or I can come pick them up instead of.
What's an example of material or fabric that gets you really excited?
Leather is another really big one for me. I work with a lot of fur, and that's just what is everywhere here. It's like when I go and go to these thrift stores or vintage stores and other places in the world, it's not quite the same here, mostly because of the climate. And I love working with heavy, heavy workwear and these Carhartts and Wranglers, and I take a lot of influence from the Wyoming culture and from the landscape, and it's really cool to have different materials to work with, and it's a new challenge.
It's definitely very gritty, hardworking, blue-collar people. Also, there's like a resurgence of, I almost feel like it's like 80s Western wear.
Yeah.
I am so into it. There's probably a lot going on there with like Yellowstone got really popular, the TV show. I saw that when I was in Montana. It really had a big impact on young people and what people were wearing on campus, because I used to work with college. But there's more to it. I just think it's cool. Like Kanye West definitely had a hand in that.
Yeah. Jeffree Star now is kind of leaning into more of like the Western wear.
Absolutely. And that's really fun too. When I moved here, I got rid of all my furniture. I like sold or donated all of the stuff that we had in Montana and embraced our cowboy culture. And I bought a lot of Western stuff. And I do see it in the way people dress too. When you go to thrift stores, you can find a lot of cool old pearl snaps, bolo ties. And it's the home of Lou Taubert's Ranchwear. And so definitely Casper has a lot of that legacy, which is cool. What other influences? What kind of things do you feel like that make your stuff stand out? What, like, where we would go, oh, that's definitely an Ariane piece.
Yeah, I take a lot of influence from designers like Vivienne Westwood and Rick Owens. I look up to Kanye as a designer a lot. But definitely just different cultures. The Japanese culture, I take a lot of influence from skate culture. I take a lot of influence from all these different places. And really, it's just a hodgepodge of, it doesn't ever really fit into one space. And that's why it's so special, because it's so different from what anyone has ever seen before.
Do you tend to lean towards more menswear, womenswear, or is it just kind of a conglomeration of whatever, anybody could wear anything?
Yeah, it's really unisex. I don't typically label it one side or the other. There are some pieces that lean more towards women's wear. But really, it's all over the place. I wear everything, really.
Have you ever made something and thought, this isn't working? And then what do you do? Where do you go from there?
No, absolutely, all the time. Figure out a new way to scrap it and cut it up again and make something different. Maybe it starts as a pair of pants that I want to make and it ends up being a bag or a headpiece or something like that. But I do work with a lot of unconventional materials, so there's a lot of room for opportunity. I have done a couple pieces for my last show in Denver Fashion Week that were made out of like military duffel bags. I did some really big football shoulder pads that were studded and had leather and belts, and I did a bag made out of a keyboard, so all kinds of just crazy things.
I love the keyboard bag. I saw that. I thought, wow, that's a very unique vision and not something I would have thought of, and it looks really cool. It's crunchy.
Yeah, it's super fun to play with and sit there and type on it.
Oh, I bet it is. Oh, fun. I wonder, as you get ready for this show, how do you like pick a theme and try to make everything kind of like cohesive in a way?
I would say my collections are typically the opposite of cohesive. I think it's really important to showcase the versatility that I have as a designer and all the different things that I do and the influences that I lean into and what inspires me. And it's all over the place, honestly, and it's really just made for all types of people.
This is coming up in March. How are you feeling about completion? Are you almost done? Are you like working till midnight every night? What's going on?
This is definitely the busiest I've ever been. Just learning, especially through the last Denver Fashion Week, I do feel more inspired in the night hours. So I'm reverting back to what I call my nocturnal schedule. So I'll start work at noon and work until 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Okay, I like it. I used to do that, and then I had kids.
Yeah, that doesn't work the same after that.
It does not work, no. What goes on at a fashion show for the designer? I know they always are running around and look like there's like little things. There's like needle and thread in hand. What kind of things? I mean, if you could, it's probably not the same every time, but give us a picture of what that's like.
I mean, really, I do my best to put the stress aside. This last time for Fashion Week, I had a model drop out the morning of. Really, it was just running around the whole day, but it's so important to me to really try and live in the moment and make a connection with the people that I'm working with, because we really did become a little family, me and all the models and the makeup artists and my assistant, and we just spent so much time around each other just that day in particular. We became so close after that, and it's so special to me to, that's what really matters, is to make the connections, and especially around fashion, but just friendship in general is so important to me on the show days. And if you're looking for, exactly, if you want to see what happens, I have a video posted on YouTube that's a behind the scenes of what it was like at Denver Fashion Week.
Do you have like a bag? Like, you know, doctors have a bag. Would you say like what do you pack with you?
Everything. my needle and thread, and usually a sewing machine I'll take with me on the show day. My iPad is a must have. Laptop, phone, 100 phone chargers, of course. Headphones, a huge, massive bag of pins and safety pins, and
food and water.
Yeah, I guess.
When you have to eat. Yeah.
That's like last on the list, though. So
I always have protein bars because I end up sometimes at work where there's not a moment where you stop.
Yeah.
And so if I don't have food, it might, you know, be 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I'm like, what is that feeling? Oh, yeah. It's hunger.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten today.
I'm usually so hyped up on the show day anyways. It's like, I can't even sit down and eat anyways. I don't want to.
Red Bull? No. No. No, caffeine. We have about 10 minutes left. There's two things I definitely want to get to. Number one, I was going to say, clothes are so intimate. They go on your body. You wear them and they make you feel some type of way. How do you, as a designer, I guess, what are you trying to create? How do you want your wearers to feel when they're in your garments?
Mm-hmm. It has so much to do with personal expression and how you, I guess fashion is just a way for people to say 1,000 things without ever opening their mouth. And so it's so important, like, first impression on someone when you first look at them. Oh, what are they wearing? I feel like that's always my first impression of someone. How they do their hair, how they do their makeup. I think self-expression can be shown in so many ways, but really what you are wearing is the most important.
I've been doing a lot of athleisure, but just throwing a blazer on, partially for convenience. But it's like, I feel, this is so cringy, listeners, but I feel cool. I want to look cool. Or you want to feel that type of way. It's not even so much to me what I'm expressing. It's like when I show up at work and I've got my hair done and I'm more confident, my performance tends to be better. So it's weird how that outward expression really can internalize somehow, and then it changes your outlook, or I guess the way you move through the world that day.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like when you feel good in what you're wearing and you feel like, oh, I look cool today, like, I feel like you're just bound to have a better day, and maybe you'll go and be nicer to someone or hold the door open because you want them to look at your outfit. Like, it just really changes your mindset, and it's really important.
The thing I missed the most about college, I think, was going out with my friends. Before even going out, it was the girls coming over to my house and us picking out what we were going to wear, just looking at different clothes, trying on different clothes. There's something fun and playful about that. And then the actual going out, yeah, that was fun too, but it was really just that quality time of like, how do we want to be today? And then it plays into the next day too, where it might be loungewear, casual wear. You just want to throw your hair in a messy bun and go to the store. That's adorable too. And so it's fun. You know, if you are somebody who's inclined, to express yourself through fashion. And then I think of people like my dad who put on something that, you know, it's for practical reasons. It's sensible. It's not super expensive. And that's an expression too. The other thing I wanted to touch on was valuing the clothes that we do have. I think we're so lucky to be able to have access to a surplus of clothing, and they don't have to be expensive. Also, there's a lot of avenues now where you can buy used clothes or resell clothes that you're done with that maybe don't fit anymore, or you just want something new. Or have you heard of this thing called Rent the Runway?
That's a great one.
Yeah, because it's like you go to these events or whatever and you want to, like, the butterfly ball is a great example. I don't necessarily need to buy a brand new dress every year for that, but I'm not probably going to wear the same one. There's different themes. And so it's like, it might be fun to go on and get something, but then I give it back and it gets another life with somebody else. Yes.
Those kinds of things are genius. Mm-hmm. That's something that I wish that I would have thought of. Those are absolutely genius because that really does put the life cycle back into these garments. And can you imagine how much longer those are, you know, still going to be in use for too? And it's really great to be able to, because there are so many loud pieces like that that, you know, you don't really want to wear twice.
I think I would put some of your items in that camp too, of being a statement piece, or what I always call a thing piece, you know, something that's like, people, you look at it, you really want it, you're fantasizing about it, then you go, do I have the money to spend on this? And I think that if people start to look at your items, there's things that resonate with me, so I know that other people might also feel that way. And so in your closet, if you have, let's say, a few pairs of blue jeans that go with anything, a white t-shirt, I think, is always practical. and then you buy those statement pieces, they can really up your level, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's subjective in that way. The way that I look at my pieces, they are a staple for my wardrobe, and I'm just typically someone who is always dressed loud, and I'm always, you know, getting looks on, oh, what does she have on, or what's that jacket, or but I pair so many of the loud pieces together when I style them too, whether it's runway or just in general for my personal wear and things like that. Those, what a lot of people see as like the statement pieces, are very, you know, just typical everyday for me, and that's just
It's loud. It's bold. I think sometimes people think of Wyomingites too as sort of plain, maybe not as out there. But I think Casper is unique in that way. I do see that we have a real there's a really loud art scene in Casper, and people express themselves, and you see a lot of urban fashion on the streets of Casper, and so I definitely think that. That might be a misconception that people have about Wyoming, or Wyoming doesn't even exist, et cetera. But it does. And so do you feel like Casper's a really good home base for you as a designer?
Yeah, for sure. The art scene here has grown so much in the last 10 years or so, which is really awesome to see, and really awesome to have a chance to more so connect with these fellow creatives in my community and be able to support each other in that way. But it's also really awesome. Just the thrift stores here are not super, you know, when I go source in Denver, that's something totally different. And a lot of that has been curated, and it takes the fun out of it, to be totally honest. But this is the perfect place for me where I'm at right now. And studio is great. I just love having the support from my community, and that's the most important.
Oh, this makes me want to go to Rescued Treasures after this. Yeah. And I don't have a sewing machine, but I could see getting into like the old prom dresses and some of the things that show up that might have been in someone's basement for like 20 years. And those kind of frills and fun, like crepey fabrics and stuff, that's got to be really cool to get to work with.
Yeah.
And knowing that you can do something with it otherwise would just be in the landfill or, just sitting there doing nothing, kind of rotting. Mm-hmm. I wonder, what about lace? Are you a lace person?
Oh, yeah, a lot of it. Recently, I've been working with a lot of lace tablecloths. And
ooh.
So I'll go to these estate sales or garage sales in the summer. I've picked up a huge stack of them. And I have been using them as kind of an overlay onto denim, or I'm doing one with a vest right now. And then spray painting over it to kind of create like a stencil with that like lace texture.
I'm curious, are there colors, fabrics, or trends that you just can't? You're just like, I don't like that.
No, not really. Honestly,
you're brave.
I think that especially donations from the community really open up a space for me to challenge myself and be more creative. And I get all sorts of things too. I get phone cases and undergarments and all kinds of different things, and I try and see it in a way where something can happen from it. And there's potential in everything that I find.
Man, because as you were talking, I was just thinking there are things like I want to hate, but I just can't, like fringe.
Yeah, I love fringe. It's good
to have too. It's a love hate where I'm like, I could see how it could be cool.
Yeah.
As long as it's very particular, each thing. Or what else is bold that's kind of like a challenge, I guess? I think anything too sequiny, you've got to be careful with.
Yeah.
Feathers?
I love all of it, yeah.
She's smiling. Okay. Last question. This wasn't on my list, but what do you do when you're not designing? What do young people do in Casper for fun?
Oh, man. I'm designing all the time. me and my friends, it's really popular with us to go to Boomtown. We love bowling. Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Coffee shops?
Yeah, coffee. Big on coffee shops, too. I'm not a big coffee drinker myself, but we frequent Buffalo Bean all the time. That's one of my favorites. Metro is always great, too. Scarlo's is a great place to go sit and work.
Rest in peace, Bourgeois Pig.
Yeah.
I loved the pig.
Yeah. And then, of course, just running around to all the thrift stores here and in Evansville and Mills, and there's a lot of great hidden gems that a lot of the mass population doesn't know about here, too.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.